Affordable housing is something we're hearing a lot about over in the Valley right now as rents rise and new condos and apartments seem to be springing up everywhere. And in Tempe, the problem is front and center. Residents told the city in a recent survey that affordable housing is the most important issue to them. And at the same time, older apartment buildings and a mobile home park in the city have been raised for higher-end options. Now, Tempe's city council is working to address the problem. The council will vote tonight on a plan to boost affordable and workforce housing in the city. So, our co-host Lauren Gilger sat down with Tempe's Vice Mayor Lauren Cuby and Housing Manager LaVon Lamy ahead of the meeting to talk more about it. They say Tempe's affordable housing landscape isn't as dire as some other cities, but it's also their main focus. Here's Vice Mayor Cuby.
Our city council has made affordable housing and workforce housing its highest priority. And we know our community sees it as the highest priority, too. We did a community needs survey, and it was the number one cross-cutting issue because housing isn't just about housing. It's about transportation. It's about health. It's about happiness. So we are very focused on taking a multi-pronged approach. And it's important to note when you talk about housing, you have to think about different segments, senior housing, homelessness housing, different groups because they have different needs. Mm-hmm. It's important when developing to think about trying to have a multi-pronged approach and have housing that satisfies all of those needs and not just one of those needs. We have a need for market rate housing in Tempe as well. It's hard sometimes for our residents to hear that because they want to see all affordable workforce housing sometimes built or a segment does. But the fact is there's a need for housing all around.
How does the sort of increasing development, the state of the economy right now, the state of jobs in Tempe right now sort of play into this? Is the demand driving up the cost of housing?
Absolutely. The demand is always driving up the cost of housing. Another of the kind of interesting challenges that we have in Tempe is we're landlocked. Most of the new development going in is either infill or we're tearing something down to put something back. Mm-hmm. That just drives up the construction costs. And then when you look at the broader market and realities of the economy, increases in the construction trades and supplies is making significant differences in our ability to build housing and it to be affordable at the same time.
So we have all these challenges with affordable housing. And as someone who started in the council wanting to really see a shift towards the production of more affordable and workforce quality housing, you hear developers say it doesn't pencil out. The construction costs have gone up. The land costs are gone up. The land costs are higher in Tempe. So we hear about all these challenges. To me, one of the most frustrating challenges has been that the legislature has taken away a tool that cities across the country use, and it's called inclusionary zoning. Mm-hmm. And with inclusionary zoning, you can require developers to build a certain amount of workforce and affordable housing, say 10%, if they are building in your city. But that tool was taken away, and it's actually illegal to do that. So Tempe and other cities in Arizona have to really be creative and look at all the tools in the toolbox. And that means working with the federal government instances, with the state government, with private developers, with nonprofits. Because if we decided that we were going to give up because we don't have the inclusionary zoning tool, it would not be favorable for our residents or for building a healthy community.
So let's talk about then what the city is planning to do to sort of combat the high cost of housing and the rising cost of housing there. So there's a trust fund plan. Give us a sense of what this would do.
So the development of the Affordable Housing Trust Fund is part of a broader strategy document or policy document for the city. All in, it contains 20 strategies that were ultimately designed as levers to work with what the current market is. Mm-hmm. The Affordable Housing Trust Fund is a repository for a dedicated stream of funds to be able to go in and develop affordable housing. Now, whether that's through our purchase of units to create permanently affordable rental housing, or whether that's through creating incentives for developers to help buy down the cost of that development, it works both ways in order to respond to the market.
And we took, with our affordable housing strategy, the most aggressive of approaches. And one of the first steps, and we voted this in a while back, was an affordable housing impact statement. When a developer comes to the community development, they are immediately given this document, and they need to describe what units are you building. Are you building affordable? Are you building luxury, market rate, workforce? And it's a document that says from the outset that Tempe is serious about this. We want to know what your housing stock plan is. And then that document can be used by the council in their decision making. We can't require affordable housing under state law, but we can look and see the picture from the outset. And our community development folks working hand in hand with our housing folks can say, this is something that's really needed on this particular piece of land, and we want to help you get there. What can we do? What incentives, abatements can we provide to encourage you to build affordable workforce quality housing on that piece of land?
Do you think the city's done enough? Do you think that there is enough of that going on? I know that you're saying you're hamstrung in some places because of state law, but lots of critics out there are saying that some of the policies are pushing this in the wrong direction.
Well, I would never say we've done enough. We always have to do more. I mean, we need to build out for 2040 and make sure we have, 18,000 units? To me, every development is individual and contextual. You need to look at that site. We can't exactly require on a piece of land right on the lake affordable workforce housing. But what we do when we have development agreements is say we want a contribution to our housing trust fund. So we can fashion a package that is more comfortable for us.
Obviously, these kinds of issues are not going to solve themselves overnight. But how soon can you expect to sort of offer some relief to people who want to live in Tempe and feel like they might not be able to afford to anymore?
When it comes to the federal housing assistance, you know, our federal programs, we're currently using those to purchase units that are going to be permanently affordable rental housing. We're housing folks every day. Over the last, I'd say, 3 years, we've increased our direct subsidy assistance for our lowest income households by over $3 million.
You know, we've built 18 homes with Habitat for Humanity that are affordable homes that are also highly energy efficient. And we've our housing navigator has helped 175 people to get housing in the very first year of that position. That's a wonderfully innovative position. So that's helping. And then we have $10 million of housing assistance that goes out to the community. So we're doing a lot. It's never enough. We must do more. And we won't rest until we have a community that is balanced, that is compassionate, and that is healthy.
That was our co-host Lauren Gilger speaking with Tempe's Vice Mayor Lauren Cuby and Housing Manager LaVon Lamy about how that city is working to ensure there's enough affordable housing there for everyone.
So just how hard is it becoming for people to afford their housing in the Valley? Our next guest says the answer to that question is all about supply and demand. Tina Tambor is Senior Housing Analyst with the Cromford Report, and she says we're at a historic low when it comes to the available housing inventory on the market, especially compared to the demand we have for it. Lauren Gilger spoke with her more about that.
First of all, we are at an absolute historic low for new listings coming in the market.
Wow.
And what that means is that while we have above normal demand, not that high above normal, you know, 5 or 6% above where we should be, the fact that sellers are not selling or not listing their home is creating an even stronger feeling, I guess, on the buyer side of this, oh my gosh, is there anything for me to buy in my price range?
Yeah, and this is especially true, it sounds like, in the lower price ranges, those first-time home buyers, the people who don't have over, what, 200,000?
Yeah, we're below last year in supply all the way up to 400,000. Mm-hmm. So if you are under three, it's like a madhouse mm-hmm. at this point. And when I say madhouse, it's like for those properties that are in really good shape, that are well-priced, they all smell good, you know, they're perfectly placed in the community, everything you'd ever want, those you're going to have multiple offers on.
Yeah.
But even those that smell like 12 cats, you know, and the ones that back up to the freeway, it's like there's nothing else for the buyers to look at. So they're like, well, I guess I'll at least go look at that one.
Wow. Okay.
And so.
So this would seem as if it is then, you know, a seller's market. Are houses right now being sold for more than they're worth?
Well, worth is always a relative term.
Right.
I would say that there are some people that worry about whether or not it could appreciate more, or they worry about whether or not it will maintain its value mm-hmm. that they buy it for. And so those are the things that you can't really predict, but this is what we can say today. We have very positive population growth, and interest rates dropped. We now, last I looked at it, they were 3.75. Incredible. And in the same frame between April and May, we saw 2 months of raises. Mm-hmm. So everybody got a raise, and the interest rates are super low. So guess what happened to demand? Everyone's like, yay, now I can afford it. And they feel confident. So when people feel confident in their jobs, confident in what they're making, they feel a lot more confident in investing in a home. So affordability is actually very good here.
So when we say affordability is good here, what do we mean? Because there's lots of conversation right now about the challenges cities and municipalities are facing in terms mm-hmm. of making enough affordable housing. And I know some of this doesn't have to do with buying, it has to mm-hmm. do with renting, but prices are going up.
Well, yeah, absolutely. When it comes to renting versus buy, it has become a lot more expensive to rent. Remember in the bubble years, we had what we called false demand, a lot of people buying homes who had no intention of living in them. And so we could tell that there was a problem because all the prices for resale were skyrocketing while rents were flat. But right now what we see are rents skyrocketing along with housing. And so that is definitely a testament that we have real demand, real people who really need a place to live. And as far as affordability goes, what that means is that a family making the median family income should be able to afford 60 to 75% of what's selling. The issue that we're having is that they're competing for those same homes with corporations or investors who are scooping up some of these homes or cash. And so it's a much more competitive environment.
So that's what's making it competitive in that affordable first-time home buyer range. It's it's not necessarily there are lots of first-time home buyers that need these houses. It's they're competing against companies.
Yeah. You know, you might have companies that want to do flip investing. It just becomes real easy to sell to a cash investor, and that makes it very difficult for a first-time home buyer to get in there.
Is this just home flippers? Is it a broader market than that? Other companies wanting to buy the stuff?
It could be. There's a mixture. There could be not only the short-term investors, but there's also the buy and hold, somebody buying the property to rent it out, which is not a bad business model either. And there's also the short-term rental market, which is taking up a lot of lower-priced inventory for the sole purpose of putting a tourist in there.
And this is like Airbnbs or VRBOs?
Yes.
They're investors buying those houses?
Yeah.
So if we're talking about affordability in the housing market and making sure that we still have like a good range of housing available for people in the city, which cities talk about a lot, what could be done to balance that out more?
So that's when you start talking about new construction within the price points that you need them to be, and that can be very complicated. You also talk about, well, how much of this short-term rental should we allow in certain areas of the city? And should we regulate? And I know that's like, it's a long word, but it's a four-letter word for a lot of people.
Yep.
Should we be at least be aware of how many homes are completely restricted, taken out of housing supply altogether, and placed in short-term rentals? We should probably know that number.
And we don't at this point.
We don't. But the governor just signed an update to the old law that said we're not going to regulate. And now we're saying, oh, we're not going to regulate, but we're going to require everybody have a tax, some form of tax ID number. And that goes into effect, I believe, in August.
So you will be able to get a better handle on how big a portion of the market that is.
I hope so. If we can get an idea of how many homes are just solely for tourism, that will give us a good idea of looking at how that has affected affordability over time. But if they free up some of that inventory to somebody who wants to live in that area, it might actually help out the affordability.
Okay. Tina Tambor is Senior Housing Analyst with the Cromford Report. Tina, thank you for coming in.
No, my pleasure.